Morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you. I'm a little kind of not in my right mind right now. I have different things happening to me this morning. Just when I was ready to go and teach the Sabbath school this morning at the Hanford Church, I noticed that something was missing in the parking lot where I live, and it happened to be that my car wasn't there. My car got stolen this morning, so I'm like, and this is the second time in 2 years, so wow. Anyway, let's praise the Lord and let's just bow our heads one more time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness and mercy to us. Be with us, Father. Open our ears as we open your word, and let your word do what you will have us to do in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, is it too loud? Okay. All right. So, we're going to begin again reading that passage of the Bible found in 1 Timothy. And if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to open the Bible at this time. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17. I also forgot my glasses, so... Yes, so you have to forgive me for this. Anyway, the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And the Bible says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who, the King James says, who wills, I'm reading from the New King James, says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Bible says that God desires. God what, everyone? God desires all men to be saved. Now, to desire something and to desire to do what it takes is two different things. God can want to be, God can want everyone to be saved. But if God is not willing to do what it takes to offer you and me salvation, then God's infinite desire for all to be saved will amount to nothing. You can determine how bad, how urgent you want something by what you're willing to do to get that something. Amen? So here in the Bible tells me that God is willing, that God has a desire. God has a passion, and his passion is for the salvation of the lost, for the restoration of the hurting, for the restoration of those who are broken, for the restoration of the blind and those who are confused. That is God's desire. That is his passion. Amen? But just like any person, a passion to obtain something is not enough. Rather, it takes willingness, it takes a desire to get what you have passion to obtain. God just doesn't want men to be saved, but God actually does what it takes for men to be saved. Can you say amen? Now, here in the book of Revelation, you're invited to open your Bibles. You don't have to. But in the book of Revelation, I want to read this with you. And the Bible says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Bible says, in the Spirit, in the bride, say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is thirsty, what everyone? Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life for how much? Freely. So here in the Bible, we see that God has a desire for all men to be saved. But God actually does what it takes for us to be saved. God sends, right here in the Bible, an invitation to all. God is sending an invitation to all. You know what? When I first came to the church many years ago, I remember during the children's story, looking at the children, and they will sing those little children's songs, right? And so I said, I want to learn those songs. As crazy as they may seem, I said, I want to sing like them. Especially that song that says, Jesus loves the little children. Right? I said, I want to sing that song. So I learned that song. And would you sing it with me? It says, Jesus loves the little children. Red, blonde, yellow, black, and white. Did you hear that? Boy, when I heard that little song and it spoke to my heart. Jesus loves the little children, and the Bible says that I am his child. Amen? And so, Jesus loves the little children, and then it says right there, red, brown, yellow, black, white, and whatever else. And it says right there, Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves all the children of the world. And I said, I'm one of those children. Jesus loves me. And so reading that, I understood that God values every single one of us. Amen? Amen? You don't pay a ransom for all if you don't value all, right? And this is interesting because God values people in a different way than you and I value each other, right? If I randomly pick one of you right here and ask you, how much do you value me? What would you say? Definitely, if I am of no use to you, how much would you value me? On the contrary, if someone is of value to you, how much would you value that person? Right? So if people are no value to me, I will not value them. So we think, friends, isn't that right? If I do something for you, then you put a value on myself, right? But if you see somebody walking in the street, how much do you value that person? Not much, right? So we tend to think, if you don't do anything for me, why would I value you? If you don't do anything for me, why would I value you? But God doesn't value people the way that we do. Because God paid and pays a ransom for all. You and I don't pay a ransom for all, do we? So God is actually willing to do what it takes to offer to you and to me salvation. You can determine how much you really want something by what you are willing to do in order to get what you want. Did you get that? So how much does God want and values you? How much does God want your salvation? And friends, let me submit to you that God wants the salvation of all. And he wants it more than he wants to exist. You may say that is crazy. God wants you. He wants it more than what he wants to exist. And that is demonstrated by what he was willing to give for you. If God desires all men to be saved, and if God is paying a ransom for all, and if God sends an invitation to all, obviously, God values all. Now, why? Why does God value all if all are not of use to him? It must be then that God just doesn't see you and me as a race, as we are. God sees you and me as we can become. He sees you and me in Christ. Amen? Amen. You and I see people for what they are. We see people that people are covetous. The people are proud. The people are selfish. The people are rich. And people are poor. And that's why we don't value everyone alike. But God doesn't see us that way. God doesn't see us the way we see others. He sees people for what they can be. That's why he values all, and that's why he paid a ransom for all. You know what? In the country that I was born, they used to have this thing that if you were a lawyer, they would call you lawyer. If you were an engineer, they will call you engineer. They will not call you by your name. If you were a doctor, they will call you by doctor instead of by your name. And we tend to do that thing, right? We tend to call people for what they are. But God sees us different than what we see each other. God values all because he doesn't see us as we are. He sees us as what we can become. So now, here in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, you can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 says like this. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he says to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And perhaps Jesus was seeing who Matthew was. Matthew was an extortioner. He was an unscrupulous man, and Jesus says to him, "Matthew, follow me." Now, if Jesus is telling Matthew, "Follow me," Jesus has confidence that Matthew can follow him. He's telling Matthew, "I just don't see an extortionist. I just don't see you as you are, but I see you as you can become. I just don't want to see a greedy person. I don't want to see an extortioner hated by all the Jews, hated by all people, shallow in understanding. But I can see an unselfish person in you who can reveal the glory of God. I see you, what you can be. And do you remember what Matthew was before and then after? And that is why, let me tell you a story. When I was in this country, Guatemala, where I was born, I wasn't going to school. And I decided to get a job. Well, I was underage. And so I went to this place and they hired me, but not working in the big plant, but outside. I was serving coffee to the guys in the office and those little things. And every day around noon, of course it was lunchtime, and that place was huge. It had two soccer fields, basketball court and volleyball and all kinds of things. I like to play soccer all the time. So one day as I was playing soccer, a young girl approached me. And she brings with herself an envelope and she gives it to me and she says, "The lawyer, the supervisor, the chief of personnel sends you this envelope." And I'm like, "What is it?" And so, the bell rang, and I decided to open it after I was done working. So I did. And that envelope said, "You know what? We have been watching you, and I, whatever his name, would like to invite you to participate to play soccer in certain team B. Against team A." He had different soccer teams, but these were the two best teams, A against B. And boy, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And so I said, yes, within myself. The secretary came again and she asked me, "What do I say?" Tell him, "Yes, I will do that." And I played. We played a match. That day I scored a goal, and the other guy who played also, who had been picked up, he scored. We scored, and the guys liked us. But they didn't see anything different in us. And then, the thing went unnoticed again. And the second time, the secretary came after a while, and she brings another envelope, and she extends the envelope to me, and I knew where it was coming from. And I said, "Congratulations, you have made it to Team A." Oh, my goodness, I was so thrilled, excited. Team A, the best. So from that Team A, they formed a selected team who went and played in stadiums with an audience. And friends, lots of people would be in that stadium. And I was there. I was like, why? Why? You know, what did he see in me that my friends and I cannot see in myself? So Jesus, here he tells Matthew, "Follow me. Matthew, I can work with you. I can train you. I can disciple you. Because you can be somebody that you can never imagine." And that's exactly what the supervisor did for me, friends. He saw in me not for whom I was, but for whom I could become. Amen? I was a guy with long hair. I used to break dance. I did. I had a feather hanging from my ear. I would get a big boombox, have it right here, strapped, and everybody would be dancing in the street, breakdance. I was that guy. But that supervisor saw something different in me than the rest of the guys. He saw me for who I could become. And friends, let me tell you, I had the privilege to play in stadiums with professional players. So much so that my friends became members of the national team, and I was next. So Jesus sees this in Matthew. He doesn't see him as a tax collector, a hated man. He sees somebody else. But let's make a turn right here. Although all men and women have been ransomed, not all will be saved eternally. Now, did God know this beforehand? Notice the words of Jesus. Jesus said, strive to enter into the straight gate. Because broad is the path and wide is the gate that enters into destruction, and many there are who find it. Now notice this. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads into life, and few will find it. Obviously, Jesus knew the most will be lost. Let's turn to Isaiah, everyone. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 9 and 10 to see what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. And the Bible says, remember. Are you there? Okay. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet. Saying my counsel will stay, will remain. The Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. And God knew from the beginning that in the end, most will be lost. So why then pay a ransom for all when all will not be saved? Why? Now let me ask you this. Would you invest all of your money, all of your wealth, all your resources into a business that is not going to give you any profit? People, why do people invest on things? Because they want what? They want a return, right? But here we see God paying a ransom for all when he knows that all will not be saved. That he will, in many cases, will not get a return for his investment. Can you see that? Why then? Why make such a gigantic investment when most of the time you will not get a return? I want to read with you, or you can turn it there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And we all know this chapter. It's a chapter of love, right? 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read from verses 4 to 7. But before that, I want to just let you know that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says that God is?
Love.
God is what, everyone?
Love.
God is love. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, the Bible says, love suffers long. But since God is what? Why don't we use that word instead God instead of love? Because God is love, right? Why don't we use the name of God, the name of Jesus, instead of love? And it will read like this. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself. God is not puffed up. God does not love, does not behave himself rudely. God is not seeking his own. God is not provoked. God thinks no evil. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but he rejoices in the truth. Amen? God bears all things. God believes all things. God hopes all things. God endures all things. Because God never fails. Can someone say amen? So God pays a ransom for all because he values all. He's not going to get a return in every case for his investment. Why then pay for all? Because 1 Corinthians says that God believes all things. Love hopes all things. This means that what God knows doesn't change who God is. What God knows doesn't change who God is. God is love. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God will not stop believing in what you can become, friends. Whether you become that or not, he will still believe in what you can be. Amen. He pays a ransom for you and for me. Because as a father loves his children, he loves every single one of them with a love that we can never, never fathom. God is love and he never will fail us. He will continue to believe in you. He's going to choose you in Christ Jesus. And you know what? That's exactly what that lawyer, that supervisor did for me. He just didn't see me as that guy with the feather hanging from his ear, with the long hair, with short pants. He saw in me somebody different. You know, not too long ago, some few years ago, there was a boy right here at the Pathfinder building. And boy, I had the greatest expectations for that boy. Unfortunately, he went his own way. But I said, this guy can become somebody for Jesus Christ. I just didn't see him for who he was. I saw him as a preacher. As a teacher, somebody different. So that lawyer did that for me. He believed in me. He gave me an opportunity, and I became a different person. You have the opportunity today, friends, to decide to see yourself as God sees you. You have the opportunity to say today, God, I choose to see myself the way you see me. Amen. Amen? Amen? I chose to believe about myself what you believe about me. You know what? Not too long ago, a couple of years ago, Mr. Bassett, Jasper, I believe is his name, him and his group were singing in Hanford. And of course, one of my friends sings this song so beautifully, so beautifully. So when Mr. Bassett and his team went to sing, just reminded me of that. And the song says like this. I'm not going to sing it, of course, but I'm just going to read or recite to you what those words says. It's a beautiful hymn. Until we give you first place. Until we let you begin to fill us with your spirit, to fill us from within, nothing matters. Nothing is gained. Without your holy presence, our lives are lived in vain. Oh God, I want to know you. I want to love you. All the love I owe you, I'm seeker of your heart. Are you seeker of his heart? Friends, this was a short message, but I just want to emphasize that Jesus sees you for what you can become. I don't know what you are. I don't know your abilities, what you do when you're at home, away, but he knows. And he sees beyond that because he sees what you can become, especially for you, all of you young people here. Perhaps you have in mind, I'm going to choose that career. And that's good, but God can see beyond that. God has plans laid up for you because he loves you. Let me submit this morning that Jesus paid it all. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. And all, friends, all to him I owe. Let me tell you, the sin has left a crimson stain, but he made it white as snow. Amen.